May the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Please just go with me for a couple of seconds to the throne. Please pray with me. Almighty God, thank you for your grace and mercy this morning in allowing each of us to navigate our lives and make our way to Christ Church to praise you and worship in your holy name. May I decrease and your glory, dear God, increase. As I speak to your people this morning, here in this holy place, to God be the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning. On this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, as Advent fastly comes to us, approaching us in two Sundays on November 30th, we'll be in Advent. The year is going fast, folks. Now, just kind of sit just for a couple of seconds and just let everything go out of your mind and just think about something that I'm going to try to get you to come into. Now, there was a woman who had been working hard all day, and all she could think about was coming to the close of the day and driving to her local ice cream place on the way home for an ice cream sundae with lots of chocolate syrup and a cherry on top. She may even ask the server for a second cherry on top. Two cherries on top of an ice cream sundae. Why can't we live a little? As she walked away from the window with her treat, and her reward for a day's hard work, she stumbled over a pebble, and with uncontrollable agility that didn't meet the moment, her sundae fell on the ground. She watched it in horror, with a state of helplessness that enveloped her as her cold, scrumptious, to die for sundae melted away, and only left a white spot of fluid staring up with her with two cherries on top. The state of pure ecstasy was temporary. It was temporary. It only lasted for a moment. Today, Luke shares with us a lesson in the gospel that was not so much of a drama story today, but more of an apocalyptic rendition of things that will come at the end of times. Things that will act as a precept before the kingdom of heaven will come that was promised us by our Father, God our Father. Jesus' proclamations are presented by Luke as the voice of speaking in the context of the Son of Man and the Son of God. It is a conversation about the destruction of the temple and signs of the end of time. So let us provide a little contextual history of the temple in Jerusalem that we're talking about today. There were two temples. During the time of antiquity, the first temple was built by King Solomon somewhere around 966-957 BCE. This is before Christ. It took about 9 years to build because there was such a focus and such energy to try to get it built. And God had given all the dimensions and all the things for it to be built. It was destroyed 370 years later when the Babylonians were allowed to conquer the remains of King David's monarchy and take thousands of Jews into exile. That's the exile that you hear about all the time. It was from the Babylonians. The exile lasted about 70 years. So you may be asking yourself this morning this question: if the Israelites were a chosen people, then why were they taken into exile? This is just a little deviation here. For our Bible students this morning, which all of you are here at Christ Church, you may recall how prophets like Jeremiah and even Isaiah, that gives a context for what we are talking about today, spent periods of passionate warnings of impending destruction for persistently breaking God's laws without repentance and without a change of life. Now, humankind often ignores God's laws and asks for forgiveness when God's favor has been taken a hiatus. This is what propelled the vulnerability for the Babylonians to exploit the Israelites' weak bond with God the Father at that time. So we must always keep our eye on the prize of the kingdom of heaven as a reward. That means, dear folks, following God's laws. The Babylonians sacked Solomon's temple and carried with them back to Babylonia all of the finery, all of the things that were donated and purchased for the temple. Now, after the exiled Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple under Ezra and Nehemiah, it flourished through the transition of the end of the Old Testament period and the beginning of the New Testament period when Jesus came on the scene. However, even after that, 70 years later, about 40 years after Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, the Romans came back and they sacked the second temple and destroyed it. It was larger than its predecessor 103 years before, but it was still sacked. It is this second temple refurbished by Ezra and Nehemiah and those who built the temple that we are talking about today in our lesson. Jesus begins his teaching of his disciples and others present with the ambience which was funded through the donation to make the temple adorned with all kinds of shiny things. Actually, the temple changed. If you remember, Jesus did some things in the temple. He became violent, actually. She became violent. That's the second temple that we're talking about. Not the first temple, but the second temple. The entire effort to rebuild the second temple that became ground zero for Jesus' three-year ministry took about 80 years. It began around 20 BCE, and it lasted 15 years before Jesus came, 15 years before Jesus' birth, and ended about 30 years after Jesus' time on earth, around 64 AD. Now, isn't that one of the mysteries of God's creation? Things began to happen, while other things may be unfolding that will eventually impart the first thing that had begun. There was no way to know that the temple would be a platform and a forum for many of Jesus' teaching sessions, practical demonstrations of the authority and power given to him from God the Father. Remember Matthew 38 tells us that Jesus declared before his resurrection that all authority had been given to me in the heaven and on earth. It was after his resurrection, actually. Today we see beginnings of something that is insignificant at first. But because these things are insignificant, time goes by while other things actually unfold at the same time. That's the mystery. That's the mystery. We must allow ourselves today to see such phenomena as God's glory, God's omnipresence that allows God to be everywhere all the time. Don't cut God short. Give God the glory and praise that God is the one who created us and has ordered this cycle of life that is so mysterious to us. Now, after a brief mention about the temple's decor and opulence this morning in Luke's gospel, Jesus' message took a turn. The descriptive language used was one of doom, gloom, and even fatalistic for some. Jesus wanted everyone to know that the temple was temporary, just like that ice cream sundae. It was temporary. Even though it was the religious center of Jewish worship and a place to hear the voice of God through the rabbis and the scribes and other leaders of the church, it would eventually be torn down. That's what Jesus is talking about. it would be torn down, that it was temporary, it wouldn't stand. Jesus says, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that will not be torn down. Now here's the conundrum. There seems to be a cycle evolving here. The temple is built, it flourishes, then it becomes a conduit for elimination and destruction. Well, that's a paradox that we can't solve this morning. We'll talk about that at another time, so we won't do that today. But isn't that one of the cycles of life? We spend time worshiping and praising God, then we forget. We forget about God's mercy. We forget about the blessings of grace that adorns our lives like an umbrella, providing protection from the rain. Jesus and all of his glory becomes the fortune teller here today in this story. Jesus becomes the oracle. Jesus becomes the crystal ball and describes in the text what's going to happen to believers in the name of Jesus. Nations will rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be persecutions. There will be signs from heaven. These predictions say to us that there will be a series of cosmic and natural events that will occur before the end of time. These evolving events parallel the part that I was talking about before, that point that things will happen while other things are happening also. What we must understand is that we have a responsibility, though, to have an impact through the works that we do within the context of God's love for each of us, which we are expected to receive and pay it forward by loving others. The temple was temporary. Life is temporary. But my sisters and brothers, in all of Jesus' forecasts, the element of perseverance through it all is the prevailing theme. We suffer on earth. We struggle to make a life full of fragile joy, replete with accomplishments from hard work and sacrifice. That's okay. That's good. That's commendable. And it's available only through God's grace and God's mercy. That's why we accomplish things. However temporary things may be, it's faith that must prevail. Faith in the promise of God the Father that the kingdom of heaven will be our reward at the end of time. We will be tested here on earth about our faith, and the expectation is that we will give testimony. That's what Luke is talking about, giving testimony. Luke said that in verse 13 of our gospel. Our testimony should be like our faith, always growing, always evolving, always meeting the moment of things happening that are temporary. Luke goes on to tell us that we should not worry about what to say when we give testimony. That's what Luke said. That's what Jesus said that day. Because God will equip us to tell our story, to confirm our faith. Luke completes our text this morning by alluding to the severity of the struggle. Identification with the names of God the Father and Jesus the Christ will sometimes bring us heartache and persecution from others. But I don't say this lightly. It's temporary, folks, like the temple's demise that Jesus anticipated 2,000 years ago. So we have to think of the things that we encounter, the things that we endure as temporary, just like the temple. So lastly, my friends, we must live life as though it is a fleeting moment that will not last forever. We must praise God now. We must follow the rules for Christian living. We must do unto others as we have them to do unto us. We must help the marginalized, especially now in the times of great need. Bring a few items for the food pantry. Send a donation to your favorite charity. Send a card or a text or an email, or even get in your car and go visit someone who is sick. Our time on earth is temporary, and how we spend it and what we do with it is our choice. And may your choices be favored in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of God, our Heavenly Father. May God bless you all, and amen. Amen.
Please stand and let us